Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, for this special service, we have a special text. It's rich. It's short, I should say. It's vivid and it's rich. It's about the living God and His forgiving grace in the lives of His people. Well, that's a theme we've often heard. How can we ever get tired of that theme? God's forgiving grace in the lives of all who turn to Him and trust in Him. And let's listen to the prophet Micah, as he did a few moments ago, and as we want to do again now in an extended way. The prophet Micah, as he tells us about this God and about His people and their sins. In fact, Micah is talking to the Lord in our text. Verse 19b, to the Lord, you will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So, let's begin with this thought. What a picture. What a picture is here. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. So Micah is telling us about the Lord. Here he is at the end of his prophecy. And many times, if you know something about the prophecy of Micah, it's not an easy prophecy. As many of the prophets had to bring hard words from the Lord. Words of judgment because the people had been living wickedly and in sin. And so the prophet had to warn the people, Micah too. And that's important. Sometimes we need warning. And sometimes we need it very badly and we need to listen to it very carefully. But sometimes, indeed many times too, we need comfort. And especially the believing people of God, the remnant, as we can read of them in verse 18. The remnant. In other words, the people in Israel who turned to the Lord. They turned to Him in faith, and in so doing, they turned from their sin. They saw their sin, and they hated their sin, and they turned back from their sin, away from their sin, to the Lord. They turned to the Lord, the remnant. And to them, the prophet comes now with comforting words, with incredible words, including this word concerning the Lord. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. What does this mean? Very simply, it's the Lord saying that He will pardon the sins of His people. He will put them away. He will no longer charge them to us. He will forgive them. They won't count anymore. They won't condemn us anymore. We will be free of the burden, of the guilt, of the judgment of our sin. That's the point of the picture. That's the point of the passage. It's the way the prophecy ends. The last three verses all together highlighting and celebrating the amazing wonder of the forgiveness that God offers and provides. And Micah makes a number of points about His forgiveness, and altogether it's overwhelming. But let's just focus on this picture in our text in particular. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Again, don't we have to say, what a picture is here? What a picture of divine grace, of mercy, of forgiveness. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Can you imagine Micah writing this, understanding this, being given this revelation, and then being allowed to inscribe it? You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I'm sure we've all been to the lake before, and maybe as kids you've skipped stones. Or maybe you've played the game, who can throw the stone the farthest? And every one of you finds a nice stone, right? And you wind up, and with all your strength, you let loose that chosen stone. And the point is to see who can cast their stone the farthest into the sea. It's always a bit challenging because what happens to the stone you throw? As soon as it hits the water, it disappears. It sinks. So it can be a little challenging to know who actually got the furthest. Unless you throw all at once, perhaps. But the thing about a stone is that when it goes in, it goes down, and it's gone. And you have cast the stone into the depths of the sea. Now that's just at the shore level. Imagine being so strong you could throw a stone into the middle of Lake Ontario, where apparently it's somewhat of 800 feet deep. That's the depths. Or think of the Mediterranean Sea, 5,000 feet deep, throwing a stone into those deeps.
Or what if you were able to throw a stone into the Atlantic Ocean, where in different places it's said to be 26, 27,000 feet deep. Oh, when a stone is cast into those depths, that stone is gone. And the prophet is saying, God will do that with our sins into the depths of the sea. That means gone, gone, gone. Could be that when the average Israelite heard Micah say these words, maybe many of them thought about their history, what they knew from their fathers and mothers when they crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptians were hot on their tail. Remember? And then the Israelites came through and were standing on the shore, and they were looking back over the Egyptians fleeing into the midst of the dry ground there in pursuit of the Israelites. And just at that moment, as the Israelites were safely on shore and the Egyptians were rushing in, the sea came back together and covered them completely, the Egyptians. And the sea returned to its full depth, and the Egyptians perished, and they were drowned in the depths of the sea. That was then, and to do with Egypt. But here and now, to do with our sins. Our sins. In other words, all are missing the mark of God's glory. All our failure to love Him and to love our neighbor as ourself. All our sins, together with all our iniquities. Micah uses that word earlier. Iniquities meaning corruptions, wrongdoings, all our twisted, perverse ways of life. Likewise, all our transgressions. He mentions that too. Transgressions referring to all our rebellion, all our breaking over or crossing over God's commandments, the line that He has established. Sins, iniquities, transgressions, all of it. God, You will cast into the depths of the sea so that it no longer counts against us, so that it can no longer be found, so that it is no longer a problem between us and the Lord, so that it no longer burdens us with guilt and with the threat of judgment, so that it no longer stands in the way of us drawing near to the Lord and belonging to the Lord. God casts it all away into the depths of the sea. And understand, this is a picture of forgiveness. It's a picture of divine pardon. It's the Lord determining to remember our sins no more, but to send them away for good and forever. Already in verse 18, we can read of Him pardoning iniquity. That means He takes it away. He bears it away. He carries it away. He pardons it. And likewise, He passes over transgression. He overlooks it. He refuses to notice it. It's as if it never happened. It no longer hinders the relationship. And verse 19, He will subdue our iniquities. That means He will trample them underfoot, as it were. They will no longer have the authority to convict us or condemn us. They will no longer be able to control us or corrupt us. The Lord, see, is multiplying images, words and images to drive home the point. He will forgive His people truly and forever. He will forgive. And with the picture that comes then in our text, it's like the clincher in a way. It's like the ultimate revelation. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Into the depths. Implication being they will never again be found. They will never again be drawn up out of those depths to be used as accusations against us. Into the depths of the sea, He will cast them. And God will do it. And God will cast them. Not simply drop them into the depths of the sea, or lose them in the depths of the sea. That'd be pretty good. Or kick them into the depths of the sea. That'd be good too. But this is even better. You will cast. Some translations have, you will hurl. This is the living God winding up, as it were, winding up with all purpose and with all power, pitching our sins into the deep. And there's something of an eagerness that seems to mark Him here. What a picture. What a picture to teach us and to encourage us. Yes, because sometimes we may struggle to understand what it means that God forgives. We can struggle with that. We hear the word, we've been told the idea, the concept, and yet it can remain somewhat abstract and academic. And we struggle. And we need to know, what does it mean that God forgives? And maybe especially when we think of particular sins in our own life. And we can all do that, can we? Particular sins. Things we've said or done, or not done or not said. Or the way we've behaved with our family. Or what we've watched on the screen. Or an attitude we've shown towards the Lord. Or a particular rebellion we've engaged in. Whatever it is, can be so many things on our conscience, and we're troubled and restless, and now we hear about forgiveness, and it's for those who turn to the Lord and those who repent and who confess their sin, He will forgive. Well, that's great, but what's that mean? What's that mean? Well, it means this. He will take the sin. He will take all of the sin. Every last one of our sins we bring to Him, and He will cast them into the depths of the sea. He will heave them into the depths of the sea. And with that, there will be nothing between us, and no reason for the Lord to be grieved or offended anymore, and no more reason for His wrath to arise, because there will be no more sin, because it will have been cast into the depths of the sea. Is this not a help and an encouragement? Especially if till now we have not been confessing our sin, maybe hanging on to our sin. And it could be because maybe you like your sin too much, and that's a problem. But maybe you are convicted with regard to your sin, but you're afraid. What will God do with my sin? What will God do with me with my sin when I tell Him? What does our text help us to know what He will do? Let this picture encourage you. When you tell God your sin, God will cast your sin into the depths of the sea. So that then He can turn to you and smile upon you and take you up into His loving arms. Well, maybe you say, you know, this sounds all very nice and wonderful, but how can I know? How can I be sure that it's also for me? And if you have that question, let's go to our next point. God casting our sin into the depths of the sea. Not only what a picture, but it's a promise for sure. It's a promise for sure, just the way it's stated in the text. You know, there's no hesitation on the part of Micah as he sees into the heart of God, as it were, as he's enabled to proclaim the word of God. Here's a reality that just has to be true. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Not you might, maybe, perhaps. It's possible. No, you will cast. Micah's stating a fact. Micah's declaring a revelation. Micah is uttering here what the Lord promises to us in the gospel. Now, how can we say for sure? Well, let's think of a few reasons. One is the very character and covenant of God. The very character and covenant of God. In the surrounding verses, these two issues get mentioned. For example, end of verse 18, His character. He delights in, what's it say? Mercy. Mercy. The Lord delights in mercy. That's something Micah has learned about the Lord. He loves to show mercy. Now that should sort of jog your memories. What are we supposed to do? Justice and mercy? Do justly? Love? Mercy? That's what we're to do. We come short of that. Not the Lord. Never the Lord. He loves to show mercy. Justice too. Never mercy at the expense of His justice. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But this is something that stands out about Him. He is so happy to be merciful. It gives Him pleasure in mercy to forgive sin and sinners. That's His character. To meet sinners in their sin and guilt, in their misery, to meet them and to minister to them His matchless pardon. And how should that encourage us? So much so. You know, He will not roll his eyes when you come to him with your sin or repeated sin. He will not shake his head in disgust. He will not throw up his hands and say, "Are you kidding?" That's not the Lord. That's not the God who delights in mercy. When we bring to him whatever it is, anything and everything that may be in our life, he does not refuse us. He does not say, "There's the door, go." No, he will take our load of sin, all of it, and he will cast it into the depths of the sea because he delights in mercy. That's his character. That should encourage us. That should help us to know this promise is for sure. Also, his covenant. Micah references this in the last verse right after our text. It may seem a little obscure, but it's important. "You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old." That's about the covenant of the Lord that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when he said he would be their God and the God of their descendants, and how he bound himself to them and promised also to save them, including to forgive every sinner who turns to him. And Micah believes that. And even as he finishes his prophecy, and he has had to bring many stern words and warning words and judgment words to a people abandoning the Lord full out. "Nevertheless, to those who humble themselves under the word of judgment and turn to the living God," Micah's last word is tremendous comfort and assurance because of God's covenant, because he has made a promise, and because he is faithful to his promise. And it is for that reason, too, that we can be sure that when we come to God with our sins, he truly casts them into the depths of the sea. For he cannot lie. And he pledged this in his covenant. And he will be faithful to his word. And of course, we have even more reason to believe. To believe that because in the fullness of the time, God confirmed his covenant in the sending of his son, and particularly in the sacrificing of his son. As Micah referenced back in chapter 5, verse 2, the one who would come from Bethlehem and bring peace to the people. Micah only foresaw from a distance, dimly, what was coming. But the New Testament helps us understand. Jesus, the Son of God, born into this world to save his people from their sin. And how would he do it? He would go to the cross. He would become the substitute for sin and for sinners. And with the load and weight and burden of sin upon him, he would go into judgment. And he would endure the just judgment of God. But maybe to help us think about this very familiar theme in light of our text in a new and fresh way, let's say it like this. What God did with his son was give him all the sin of his people. He made him who knew no sin be sin for us. And then what God did with his son, as it were, was pick him up. And with all his might and with all his power, he cast his son into the depths of the sea. Is that not what happened at Calvary? Is that not what was the experience of the incarnate Son of God on the cross? Just think of how David prophesied of this in Psalm 69. "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, for there is no standing. I have come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." And in Jesus' case, they did. He was flung into those depths where he disappeared beneath the waves while he bore in himself all the punishment for sin that we deserve. And we cannot understand all that. And we're not able to measure the fullness of the sufferings of the Son of God. But what we know with clarity and conviction from the Word of God is that Jesus' death thereby secures forgiveness. This very pardon that Micah is proclaiming has been purchased and paid for by Christ on the cross. And so it is for his sake that the living God will forgive us when we come to him. It is for Jesus' sake that the Father will take our sins that we confess. And you know, instead of tying them around our neck and flinging us into the sea, he will simply take our sins and fling them into the sea, where they will stay forever and ever. And that is a gospel promise, rooted in God's character and covenant, and secured through the blood of the cross, and now applied also by the Holy Spirit, which means it's the Holy Spirit who makes us feel the sharp points of conviction. It's the Spirit of God who helps us see that we have sinned against the Lord, that we are guilty, and that we can't do anything to save ourselves. We can't bring an offering. We can't clean up our life. We can't make right what we've made so wrong. But He comes and He makes the offering. And the Spirit helps us see that. And through the Spirit, we are brought to the point where we say, "Now, Lord, please, I've got nothing. Just show me mercy. All I've got is my sin." And maybe in your case, it's really big sin. Maybe in your case, it's super serious sin. Or maybe in your case, it's simply a lot of sin, a ton of sin. Or maybe in your case, it's just the reality that sin is so sinful. Whatever it is, the Spirit is so wise and perfect in the way He convicts and makes you say, "All I've got is my sin." To which He says, "And what God's got is His mercy. Look to Him in Jesus Christ, and every sin will be washed away. All your sin will be cast away." Yes, and by the power of the Spirit, you're not only able to see that, but to believe that, to fall before Christ and to cling to Him. And so to watch God, as it were, cast all your sin away. It's a promise for sure. It's a promise for sure. He will do it initially when we come to Him, and every time again, and someday in fullness and forever at the dawning of the new and everlasting world. It's a promise for sure. And no wonder then that Micah ends his prophecy not simply proclaiming, but praising. Praising. Do we not hear that, for example, in verse 18? "Who is a God like you?" Now, many have pointed out that this expression is somewhat connected to Micah's name, because Micah's name means "who is like the Lord." And you translate his name means "who is like the Lord." And now Micah's closing word makes the same point. It's a bit of a play on his name. "Who is a God like you?" This is Micah lost in wonder. This is Micah on his knees adoring the God of grace. And that takes us then to our last point briefly. God casting all our sin away into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise Him forever. Because what if God didn't do this? Just think of that. What if God never cast our sins into the depths of the sea? What if He didn't? Then there would come a day when He must cast you and me into the depths of the sea. And how could we ever endure that? But now He has done this, taken our sin and cast them so that we might live. Is that not reason to praise Him forever? Also because you think, whatever could have compelled Him to do this? Cast His Son into the sea so that He might just cast our sin into the sea and never us into the sea. Is it because we're so valuable? Is it because He somehow needed us? No, that can't be. No, because from all eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have had perfect joy and peace among themselves. They are not compelled to care for us like this so incredibly and graciously because they somehow need us. God is not like that. Instead, there must be some deep and amazing love and care and kindness in the heart of God that simply overflows in compassion and mercy to lost sons and daughters of Adam like we are. Sometimes we say it like this: He takes reasons out of Himself we cannot understand or fully explain. We must simply wonder and worship. Who is a God like you? Also because, think once more of what the Lord is doing here. Forgiving our sin. You know, every other religion in the world says, "You must pay for your sin." Every other religion, doesn't matter what it is, every religion of man says, "You must do it. You must do it. You must do it." Only the Christian faith, only the one true God says, "I know you can do it. I'll do it." And He's done it. Yes, He's done it in His Son. Cast our sins into the depths of the sea. What reason to say, "Who is a God like you? Who is a God like you?" Praise Him forever. Living your life with His wonder spirit that Micah has here at the end of his prophecy. Let it draw you to Him. And let it draw you to Him in a way you confess your sin, yes, and rejoice in His forgiveness. And every day give thanks and praise to Him until before Him, finally in the glories of heaven, you behold Him. Then too, won't we say, Who is a God like you? Who is a God like you? Even now, let us learn to say it. Also here in worship, as we hear the gospel, and by the grace of God, are able to embrace the gospel. And then too, in a few moments when we receive the bread and wine, as tokens of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very means by which God has cast our sins into the depths of the sea. All who turn to Him and trust in Him, and that's what we're called to again this morning. And what should we say as we eat and drink? What should we say as we eat and drink? How about we simply follow the example of Micah and just say to the Lord, who is a God like you? Who is a God like you? Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this